I've got another one here with me, but yeah, that looks like that might work. So I was wondering if we might start with like how long you've been here,
okay,
and a little bit of your background, and of course dealing with any of your observations or activities or that with the Upper Grand Ronde watershed, which is everything from Rondout to the headwaters.
Right.
Which would be like Catherine Creek, of course, and
right,
tributaries. And so I can go through a few things that I had questions about, like, you know,
yeah,
for instance, vegetation, the beaver,
right,
mining like that. But if we maybe start with...
Well, I've been in the Grand since 1950. Mm-hmm. We came over here a little bit in 49 to check things out, but... We actually moved here in 1950, so it'll be in a few months. It'll be 49 years that we've actually lived here, because we lived here in the year of 50, so that was 1 year. And I've walked and fished and hunted over about everything, all the way from almost from Troy to Grand Ronde Lake, on the Grand Ronde River,
mm-hmm,
and as I mentioned to you over the phone, in some of those early years there was such a massive amount of sheep on everything,
mm-hmm,
especially the Catherine Creek country, the Little Minum River country. I would see thousands of head of sheep up on the tops of the ridges, on especially up on its very top of the Little Minum, up on Mud Spring Flats, and then of course all around the Meadowbrook, Beaver Creek, and so on and so on. It was always so impressive to me, because everywhere we went there was just flocks and flocks of sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And of course there, a sheep is a very traumatic critter, thousands of head of sheep running over a lot of the...
Well, probably a lot too, how they're herded as far as how long they're held in place.
Well, yeah, but they would just grub everything down, you know. I saw up on, in fact, they did contouring up on above
Mud Springs,
up on Mud Springs,
yeah,
you know, and I was up there when they were doing that, and there were trenches cut in that volcanic ash on that hillside that would be 10 feet deep and not over 2.5-3 feet wide,
mm-hmm,
and then used to go down into the valley down toward Rondau. At that time you could cross the river at Rondau. I don't think you can do that anymore. And
up on Mud Springs, Bill, where you saw that with that rutting and like that, were they pretty much too, where there's a lot of siltation that came down into the creeks from
because a fellow that named Ken Keeling used to work for Boise Cascade had a marvelous presentation, and I heard him a couple of times about the deposits of the ash from, they always say Mount Mazama, but I'm sure there were a lot of other volcanic eruptions.
Well, I think that was the most recent one.
Yeah, the most recent was Mazama.
Mm-hmm.
And how it would blow and drift on one side of the mountain and blow wind gusts and things would blow take the soil off the other side,
mm-hmm,
and he did it in the context of where pine grew and where fir grew,
mm-hmm,
and but that whole hillside, I had a you'll get me to rambling here. I had at the time that Mount St. Helens blew, I was in the dental office, and a little old guy came in with two or three little glass medicine bottles filled with stuff, and he was such a joker, and he said, "Well, what do you think this is?" And I said, "Well," I said, "I'll bet you that's ash from Mount St. Helens." And he says, "That's right." He says, "I got this up Yakima or somewhere out there where there was a lot of ash." And then he held up another bottle. He said, "What do you think this is?" roots, and it was kind of gray color. And I said, well, it looks like ash, but it's gray. And he said, well, he says, that's off the Minim River. And he said, there's an embankment there of pure ash that's 50 feet deep, 50 feet thick. I've talked to what's the name over here at the college, the geologist? I never can think of his name.
Van Sly?
Yeah. No, it isn't Van Sly. Anyway, his wife has a photography studio downtown. And he's commented about the ash and things. Well, this is very, very loose soil, and so the grazing of the cattle and the sheep on those mountainsides, the erosion would just...
Didn't take much to move the soil.
It would just move it right down the hill and right into Minim and Pencathern and all these creeks, because these hills would be covered with that ash. But interesting from the standpoint of the fish, bull trout, or we call them Dolly Varden and so forth, is all under protection now. And at that time, it was considered in the 50s, it was considered a predator fish on the spawning salmon. And we used to go up on Catherine Creek, or up on especially Catherine Creek, and also Little Minim and so on, and you could catch a half a gunny sack full of bull trout, because there was no limit on them. They said, okay, let's get rid of these, because they were considered I think they are a really heavy predator on the salmon eggs. But I know we went up on, I think I was on the Little Minim, I can't remember now. It was either Minim or Catherine. And golly, we could just roll stuff along the bottom and catch bull trout just as fast as you could pull them out of the water. And some of them were big, especially the Little Minim had bull trout. Well, in the Minim River too, I used to go into what was called the Big Burn there, up above the...
Lane Ranch.
The ranch there, and gosh, there were bull trout in there that were 2 feet long. And I don't know whether any of that's still in there or not. I haven't been in there for 25 years. But this whole Grand Rod drainage was so impacted by cattle and sheep to me in those years. And of course, that's all gone. I don't think there's any grazing on anything now.
I think they still have a few allotments, but it's a lot more.
There's some allotments on Spring Creek.
Yeah.
Because our Grand Ron Bird Club has been dealing with that in that area where they put up the new fences and stuff up there on Spring Creek. But I was there last year helping put up some bird box stuff, and there was a flock of sheep that came by, I'm sure that was 1,200 sheep. And they were moving them along. They weren't just sitting and grazing. But there were a lot of sheep in this country in the years past. As I say, I've fished everything from Troy to almost all the streams and stuff as it went along.
Now, do you recall, Bill, the I guess maybe a good place to start would be with the dam there at Perry.
Said
it blocked.
Yeah.
You know,
now, I called some people and as nearly as they can tell, and Horton Andrews is he's over 80, he's in his early 80s, and he was telling me about the dam and the flume that went into the mill pond and so on and so on. And I remember the old timer that was telling me the stories about going up there, and I called his widow, and she thinks best we could figure out that dam was blown out probably either 1928 or 29. And I know Homer Campbell lived in the house right directly across the street here where Slaybaugh does, and we visited a lot on stuff, and I've never seen anybody so excited as when he found those. I think he found 13 salmon reds, and Chris and I were visiting about it at noon, because Slaybaugh bought the house, we think, in 56, and I would guess that was probably 53 or 54 that he found those salmon reds, and couldn't figure out why salmon had gotten back up on the Grand Ronde again, because there was no salmon and no steelhead until that dam was blown out. Now, there could have been steelhead or salmon. They were going up Catherine Creek, and they were going up Indian Creek and that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we used to picnic a great deal. When we had our kids, we were out all the time. And we camped and picnicked and fished almost weekly. And Catherine Creek was just loaded with salmon.
Do you recall, roughly a period, like the early 50s, for instance, or late 50s, anything of any numbers and time of year that they're in there?
Well, it was when, and I can't tell you the species, but they would be in there early summer, June and July, and at Catherine Creek State Park, you'd stand on the little bridge over it, and you could see 20 or 25 salmon in the water swimming there. And I had a cute story about the old Davis Dam. Have you ever heard of the Davis Dam out here, My neighbor kid, and that would have been 51, 52, something like that, because the 14-year-old boy that was my next-door neighbor, my kids were all little, so I took him fishing and hunting with me. He and his buddy would ride out to Davis Dam, and as the fish would try to jump over the dam, they would miscue and they'd land on the bank. So these two boys would take their bicycles, and they had baskets on them, and his name was Pat, and when the salmon would miscue, they would dive on these salmon. And those two kids came home one day, and I think they had about 10 salmon. Each one of them had 4 or 5 salmon, and they were, 15 to 20 pound salmon in these baskets that they had hooked, rigged up on their bicycle. And I'm not sure whether the Davis Dam was on Catherine Creek.
Yeah, it's on Catherine.
It was on Catherine.
There's actually two dams. They put one, and I don't know, did you hear or know anything roughly what dates those went in?
No, I have no idea.
It was way back in, the original contract was like 1868 when they did that and channeled Catherine Creek.
Yeah.
But those dams, were sometime after.
Right. No, and Davis's weren't particular. You could just drive in across their pastures right down. Everybody fished down there. I never did go salmon fishing down there. But I went down to the dam several times. But the Davis's were very lenient about people fishing and hunting all over their land. And I'll never forget Pat coming home with those baskets full of salmon where they would not jump over, land on the bank, and those boys would dive on those salmon. And that would have been 51, 52, somewhere in there.
Do you recall how far up where you saw salmon up beyond the state park?
I would see salmon clear up to the Catherine Creek Meadows.
North Catherine?
Yeah, North Catherine. I never can remember seeing any salmon in South Catherine, because at that time, South Catherine was closed. You couldn't fish South Catherine at all in the 50s.
Do you remember the picture we have of Kathy when she caught
that
one? Oh
yeah, when she caught the steelhead there in
at the park.
Oh, we were on Little Catherine. We'd gone up the road on Little Catherine, and she was sitting on a stump that was out in the water. She was about 14 years old, one of our daughters. I hiked Catherine Creek several times up to the Catherine Creek Meadows.
Yeah.
And there was on North Catherine, and there'd be salmon up that far.
Yeah, I remember about how many and what date it would have been.
Oh, let's see. Judy was 7. When was she born? I remember
she was born in 48, November 48.
So 7 years was after.
55.
55 is when I hiked in with her, and she got so tired I had to help pack her out. And I know she was 7 years old, and we hiked into Catherine Creek Meadows.
Do you remember about how many fish were that you
saw? They were in pools, wherever there was a deep pool, and every quiet place, and a pool, and then there'd be a riffle, and then a pool, and so forth. And there'd be 4 or 5 salmon in every pool, as I remember. And when we got up into the meadows, and I don't know whether you've ever fished Catherine Creek Meadows.
But no, I never have been up there.
There's lots of windy stuff and around under the tree roots, you know, and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there'd be salmon, and I can't say, you know, whether there was four in a pool or ten in a, but there was a goodly amount. Of Catherine Creek was just, I thought, was just an outstanding salmon fishery in that time, at that time. And
do you recall anything as far as change then of when that started changing?
No, I didn't pay any attention to that, but it just slacked off and slacked off. And, you know, my assumption is that it was the building of the dams on the Snake River.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, in the early 60s, I got back out of the Army in 59. And I remember, I think 60, 61, right there, there's still all kinds of them there at State Park that are still coming up at that time.
I don't know when, I don't even know when the dams were built on the Snake.
Yeah, there's, I can't recall, you know, there's all the series, I mean, series all the different dates. You know,
I do, and this is just my discussion with Spud Olson, because he was this, I was in Rotary with him, and we used to have lunch together, and I believe that there was a big controversy in that Idaho Power wanted to build stream flow generation. They didn't want the dams. Mm. But the Corps of Engineers, they just do whatever they want to do, and so they started building the high dams on the Snake. But as I remember, in discussion with Spud Olson, I suppose there in the 60s or whenever, you know, before the dams were built, that and I believe he was I believe he worked for Idaho Power, I believe, and we were talking about whether. Because they wanted to build stream flow generation and not dam the river. And the Corps of Engineers do whatever they want to do. And I don't have any like at all for the Corps of Engineers and what they do. I think they're too, they don't have to answer to anybody, I don't think. But I believe it was at the time then that the dam started to be built. But of course, Grand Ron dumps in below the high dam. So, but I don't know how many dams the fish have to go over before they get to the Grand Ron.
Few. They've got a lot of barriers to get through.
A lot of barrier to go over, you know.
It starts way down, Bonneville and John Day. And
I remember when they were going to put a dam on Catherine Creek, and Oregon was petitioning to put the dam on Catherine Creek, and Washington was petitioning not to have the dam on. Because I think a lot of people here don't realize that, what is it, 28 miles of the Grand Ron River is in the state of Washington?
Yeah.
And Washington wanted to keep that because it was such good steelhead fishing. Mm-hmm. At that time, that lower Grand Ron, from Rondow on down to the end of that, and Washington advertised and promoted their recreational steelhead fishing. And Oregon wanted to put a dam, I think, so that they dammed all that meadows there where the...
For the whole Hog Ranch.
Where the Hog Ranch, you know, all that. And then dammed the Grand Ron, too. And Oregon had the pressures and petitioning to dam the creeks, the streams, and Washington was... Mm-hmm. petitioning and requesting that they not be dammed so that it didn't interfere with the steelhead.
You know, Grand Ron, where they proposed that one?
Tony Bay Meadows, as far as I know.
Oh, okay, because I never did see anything on it.
That was what we always heard, that where the canyon,
the rock wall
expands out into the Bay Meadows. Mm-hmm. That's where the dam was going to go, and this was in great... I felt very opposed to this because my dad was spent a lifetime on the water resources systems in the Yakima. He was on the state boards and whatever with regard to irrigation. And the rules up there always was that you put the dam as up high. You went up into the high waters, not down into the low. And that's the big controversy of the Rosa Dam on the Yakima River there just above Yakima. Because that Rosa Dam, which produces the Rosa Canal, which irrigates a tremendous amount of eastern Washington, and my dad and all the people on the water boards were very opposed to that. But again, the engineers put them in wherever they wanted to. And so it was called the Rosa Project. But his rule and all the rule of all of the people in the water irrigation systems up in the Yakima was get the dams up high. And I thought if there was going to be a dam on Catherine Creek, the very lowest it ought to be was up on Catherine Creek Meadows on North Catherine, not down at the Hall Ranch there. And the same way with the Grand Ronde, that it should be high up on the mountain, not down at the Bay Meadows. And you know, we had discussions and we had meetings and all kinds of stuff. And I never did feel that the river should be dammed at these low levels for what even reason, flood control or something, I suppose. And
Bill, do you recall anything other salmon population areas like Indian Creek or up the Grand Ronde?
I never had been in Indian Creek. Mm-hmm. I would, there was no salmon in the upper Grand Ronde. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember ever going for steelhead up there until later on. But after Homer found the reds up there, then... And I don't know whether anybody ever fished upper Grand Ronde for salmon at all. The only place I ever used to see the Indians was on Catherine Creek. And they would come in and camp above the campground there in that area that is just above the upper campground. And there would be Indians fishing. And I did find some Indians fishing up on the upper Grand Ronde. Found Indians really... zapped a bunch of Indians in on Five Points Creek one day. They really hauled out of there in a hurry. There was four guys, and they had a net that they would put across Five Points Creek. I went up there to fish, trout fish, and they were using explosives. And there were steelhead in there on Five Points Creek. And I'd hear this boom, and then I couldn't figure out what it was. And I walked down there, and they had a net that they would put across the creek, the kind of fast flowing, and they'd throw in their explosives, and then the fish that were stunned would float down to their net. And man, when I came down there, they hauled that thing out of there, and they were out of there in 2 minutes. And there was four Indian guys.
Do you remember other places up the Grand Ronde where they were fishing?
I would see them. I would see the Indians eventually fishing, and they were spearing. They were spear fishing, both on Catherine Creek and on the ones that I saw. Oftentimes, were spear fishing because they would, with polarized glasses, they could see in the water. And the salmon would be like under a bank or something, you know. I think along, I can't remember, in the Grand Ronde above Meadowbrook. And I can't tell you whether they were in that. I think maybe along close to where Red Bridge Park is, some of the stretches there.
But all that was on the Grand Ronde River.
That was all Grand Ronde River. Yeah. I don't remember ever seeing anybody up on Meadowbrook, and then of course Beaver Creek was always closed off. That was always gated off. So we would go on to Beaver Creek up across the old highway that went up to the old highway to Bay Meadows. Ladd Canyon was closed at that time. There was no road or anything, no public access into Ladd Creek at all in my early years. I think the Beezing, no, it wasn't Beezing Brothers. Can't think of the guys that owned Ladd Creek that sold that to Boise Cascade. I know when they sold to Boise Cascade, they figured that it was going to be 20 years that had been so damaged and so overgrazed. And there was so much problem on that. They figured it would be 20 years before there would ever be any grazing, and it came back really, really fast. I think Boise Cascade, and I'm assuming that they put that they let cattle graze on that land now.
Yeah, I'm not real sure.
Because I see cattle all over the all over Lac Creek.
In there, but I haven't been up there.
And I don't know who I don't know what Boise Cascade owns up there. You'd have to look at a map, but. I remember that it was 6 or 8 years and there were being cattle allotments put in Lad Creek. But I know when it was when they sold that and opened up Lad Creek that they figured it would be 20 years before it was so damaged that, again, I'm getting to rambling here, Jerry, but I belong to the Isaac Walton League and I was really active at it for years and years. And we had a speaker coming from Baker one night, and he was late. And they said, "Why?" You know, he said, "I'm sorry that I'm late." And at that time, there was just a two-lane road up the canyon. And he said there was a whole mass of cattle in the middle of the road, and he said I couldn't get through them at the mouth of that creek up there. And they said, "Oh, that's Lad Creek." And they said some guy asked him. He said, "Well, did you happen to see a big white-faced cow with a crumpled horn?" And he said, "Well, yes, I did." He said that. I said, "I've never seen that big, great big black white face with a crumpled horn." And he said, "Well, I figured so." He says, "That's the one that learned to pick the lock so that they could get out of Catherine Creek and get some food."
And this, was that strictly the theory, like overgrazing as far as recovery, or were there other things that went on?
I don't think that that there'd been logging at all, to my knowledge. It was just pure. They would just, the rule was that if a cow came off fat, grass fat as they termed it, the land was all right. But when people went in there, I mean, those cattle were eating brush down to, everything was stripped bare. Every bush, everything. They just put a massive amount, when that was owned by the press.
Remember about what year that
was? Oh, let's see. I think that that would have been probably the early 1960s.
Yeah, because Boise didn't get here until, I think it's 60, when they bought out Valsette someplace in there.
Well, I think shortly after that's when they bought that big bunch of land from those.
Because Mount Emily was bought out by Valsette in 55. And then I think I was in the Army about the time that...
And then Boise caught from Valsette in 60.
Right, it would have been right in there.
Yeah, well, it would have been the early years of the 60s.
That Boise was here when I got out in 59.
I think that Lad Creek area was opened up and was one of the very earliest purchases by Boise Cascade, I believe. I mean, they could tell you, I'm sure, when it was purchased, but there was two... The Beezing brothers owned this side of the mountain, all up on Rock Creek, Sheep Creek and Flats here. And the other pair of brothers owned that Lad Creek. And I can't tell you what their names were. I don't remember. I was not looking, you know, at what was happening or whether the land looked good or whether it looked eroded. And nobody was paying any attention to that kind of stuff, Jerry, in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, no, it's pretty common.
And, I thought when I would hike Mud Spring Flats and around to the head of Grizzly and so forth over there, Grizzly Gulch, and I was just appalled at the huge channels that were cut in the mountains up there. And it wasn't, and in fact, the contouring and that I think was done after that was made into a wilderness area. I think that they were not.
That was all wilderness.
I think they were not supposed to go in there with that mechanized stuff, but it was.
Well, that didn't mechanized didn't really catch up till. Late 60s, maybe, because we used to fight fire. You know, you take chainsaws in and all that, and then it was after that when that got a little stickier.
So, I used to just be appalled at the huge trenches that were cut in that hillside. And You know, I don't know why, except for the dams, I don't know why else the salmon run would be so lost in especially Catherine Creek. Mm-hmm. Because it was just a heavy, heavy salmon everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In that. I don't know anything about their spawning habits in the Grand Ronde, except that after, as the years went by then, Homer left here in 56. Because the Slaybaughs bought that house there in 56, so it would have been 54, 55 maybe that he found the salmon reds up there. And that's when he found the big bundle of wire at the mouth of Catherine Creek that blocked the salmon from going up Catherine Creek.
Was that right at the mouth of
Catherine Creek? Right. He said his statement was that they had dumped the great big rolls of what we call hog wire, which is the...
Yeah, the little square.
Squares, you know. Mm-hmm. Massive rolls of this in the creek, right at the mouth of Catherine Creek, he said. And...
Did he say why or who?
No idea.
Any background of what was...
No, I have no idea. I know that the Fish and Wildlife immediately went in and hauled the wire out so that as soon as he found it, so that the salmon could go up the creek. But that's when... And it always was so interesting to me that the salmon would have to backtrack all the way down, back down to Grand Ronde, where the Grand Ronde Slough, as we called it, mm-hmm. to where they could come back up the Grand Ronde River then.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the mouth of Catherine Creek. That is the old Grand Ronde Channel.
Oh, and sure.
But the state ditch cut that part off.
Right.
At that time, do you know if that was still running any water between there? Because right now it's been abandoned. You know, it's all gone into farm ground in between.
Yeah, as you what was part of the old Grand Ronde, as you cross the highway going to Cove, they call Catherine Creek now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we still called all that the Grand Ronde Slough, all the way mm-hmm. from there, clear down in through past Gray's Corner and down toward right. Elmer's Place yeah. and so forth. You know, we always called that the Grand Ronde Slough, and I do not know where the main Grand Ronde Channel, where those two separate.
Well, see,
I don't know.
I can draw you a quick map on that, I think.
Well, that's okay, you know.
Well, you come, you know, like out of the Grand here, you're going out towards Island City,
right.
Going due east. It goes clear out and hits right into where the state ditch takes off. And that, when they cut off that state ditch, which went, you know, kind of north right. and east and then north, right from there, the old Grand Ronde Channel, the South Slough, or the what they call Spring Creek Slough, that came in right in there, and that's like the South Fork of the Grand Ronde. They came together right there by the State Ditch. But then the main channel went on down, and it's probably about 6-7 miles of where it came in or junction with Catherine Creek.
Oh, yeah.
Then that's where it turned north towards Mount Harrison Gray's yeah. Corner, and then came back around towards Embler.
Oh, yeah.
So if they had a like right there, if they were blocked there, instead of having to backtrack, they would have gone right straight up that channel, yeah. assuming that was still open at that time.
No, this is Catherine Creek for us, dumped in over on Conley's land.
Yeah, right. But I meant right there right. at the mouth, Bill, would be at that point, if that channel, I'm talking
right.
about Grand Ronde, if
right.
that was still open, they could have come right up
right.
from that point there.
Yeah.
But now that's all closed.
Right.
You know, that's all been abandoned since
right.
then.
I don't really know. All Homer said was that the wire was dumped at the mouth of Catherine Creek, and I'd assumed it was over on this direction.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at like the old photos there in 1937 was the first aerial flight
yeah.
of that, and it was connected at that time.
Yeah.
And I was trying to think, probably into the 50s. So it looked like that might have still been
yeah.
open in there, but without being on the ground.
There were lots and lots of contours and channels all over the property that Weishaar has.
Mm-hmm.
That he's graded yeah. in, mm-hmm. where Willie Hammond was, that was all still massive amounts of channels around mm-hmm. there in the 50s and 60s.
Do you recall along those lines of how far the cottonwood came out, like from the Grand here going out that direction along the river?
There was lots of it on the Taylor's property, on the property that Weishaar have, and Chris and I have commented about so many times. As you went to Cove, you would just see massive amounts of cottonwood and streamside brush, mm-hmm. you know, in there. And I don't know who owns all the land. I know Delashmet owned a bunch of it, and right. and Taylor, and
where was Taylor in relationship, do you recall, from Willie Hammond? And
he was on the right-hand side of the road. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you what road. I don't think it's where Peach comes in. Maybe Peach.
Well, Pierce Lane is your first one. That goes. That's where the trailer.
Right. No, it wasn't Pierce.
And then Peach is the main next.
I think he was on Peach, on the left-hand side of it, I believe. And I don't know who else owns stuff out there. I think Weishars have a lot of that now. There was a Conley.
Well, Conley used to own a lot of that.
Well, there was a different. There was another cousin Conley that, and I believe he's the. He's the first house on the right hand side after you get back this way where you turn the corner and then start down off of the sand ridge. The guy that lives there at the corner where you turn is the druggist at Safeway. And there's kind of a tall house on the right hand side. There isn't much houses on the right hand side once you get past the Lashmans. There's only
agricultural
one that I can think of, and then this was this Conley, and he was a cousin. And it's where the big barn is tumbling and breaking down.
But and there's a lot of, in between Cove and back on the sand ridge, real heavily to the willows, you know, along the creek. And I didn't know if.
Well, that's the Conley land, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, a whole stretch of river, you know, through there.
Right.
And then, I'll turn on Bill Hall. He said, like, towards Imlet, there's right off from coming down off Mount Harris there, Gray's Corner, there's a few patches in there of cottonwood.
Yeah.
And I didn't know on, like, when you're going out of Island City, about how far that cottonwood went out before it, in a sense, changed the willow in there, if you recall.
Well, there were tall. Just like you'd see on Wilkerson Lane, big long stretches of cottonwood, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There across from, as I turned down Wilkerson and then turned to go over in front of what's the name of the road? But anyway, there's the big long channels with the cottonwoods in them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those, it seemed to me, were just. As we would go toward Cove, why there'd be just channel after channel of that with those big long things of cottonwood, and they were all taken down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think over toward, the names of people are escaping me.
Do you remember though when that would have been that changed was, up?
I think in the 60s.
In the 60s.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that those were. Certainly into the 70s, but the 60s and the 70s was when I think most of this, and the same way going to Imbler, or on the Mount Glen Road, there were long, that creek coming down the hill off of Mount Glen was just a solid mass of cottonwoods, and Willow Creek was totally wiped out of all of the brush and willows, and that was a solid, you couldn't even see Willow Creek. And
do you know if that was the landowners that did that? Or
yes, I'm sure Willow Creek was.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's why it was called. When we had crossed it, you couldn't. It was solid willows all the way from the Grand Ronde as far as you could see up the canyon there. I think I'm not a bit critical of the agricultural people doing this because they wanted to farm their land, but. To me, one of the major changes in this valley has been the change in the eliminating the old riverbed, for one thing, because all those contours on Weishar's land and whoever's across the highway from him has been totally obliterated, and the total trees, cottonwood, the willow trees and everything have been just totally eliminated out of the whole valley. In my almost 50 years here, that's one of the major changes that I've seen. I saw when Catherine Creek was rechanneled, when it used to go, and I don't know what, I would guess that was in the 50s, or late 50s or 60s. I don't know whether you remember when Catherine Creek was totally rechanneled and made into a ditch almost down through below the park, down toward the corner.
Are you talking about up at the state park?
Or? Well, below that, across that farmland, that used to be big, big contours, and there were a lot of salmon places resting.
But you're talking about like above Union?
Above Union.
Oh, okay,
right.
Between the state.
Between the state park and Union.
And on down. Well, I remember the when Leonard Huffman, I remember them working in there on that property, which was quite a ways up, you know.
Yeah.
Just about the place where you get into the canyon.
Yeah.
And then I didn't remember, or that might have been before I was here, when that other...
I used to drive down a little road and park and fish Catherine Creek. About across from where they started building the houses up on the hillside.
Right.
And there were big contours and big pools and stuff. And a year or two later, it was just a straight channel run. I think they just dozed the whole thing out and straightened it out, made a ditch almost.
Because all that now is pushed over against the mountain. I mean, you know, the channel itself right against the edge of that. Kind of south.
Right. And that really changed a tremendous amount of that creek. Because all the pools and everything were gone then.
Do you remember who was doing that? Because
I have no idea.
Okay, because the Soil Conservation District of Union County, they started in 48, and talking about Jones, that's when they got the heavy equipment, of course, the surplus, and they were going through, and that's where a lot of that got changed, where they were clearing the brush and then leveling.
And I think they did work on Catherine Creek. Then off of Wilkerson on down around, and I don't know what direction it's going, whether it's going north or going west, but a lot of that, I think that dike was practically remodeled at that time too, the Catherine Creek dike, because the remnants of the old dike are down in there. On that stuff that Sherman Hawkins
area there.
And but there then there's the new dike, and I remember they were building that new dike about that time too. I think the major part of that new dike has been built since we've been here. And then that was really channeled out. And of course, you certainly have the story of two or three years ago with the Corps of Engineers coming in and cleaning out Ladd Creek and then down Catherine Creek and destroying all the cottonwood trees illegally. They came within just 100 yards of taking down the cottonwood that the great blue heron nest in.
Well, I knew that heron rookery.
It was just almost mm-hmm. taken down. My understanding, and it's just rumor type of thing, was that the contract and the agreement, because we had lots of hearings on it ahead of time, was that the Corps of Engineer was not to take anything except the roots and the stuff that was in the creek. And the landowners out there, and I don't know who it was besides Sherman, said, well, we never have liked these cottonwood out there, and we've never liked them over here. And they were taking down cottonwood 100 yards from the creek. And Mark Hengem went out and just really jumped on them and said, hey, your contract says only in the creek you're taking down this. And they were taking down toward the rookery, and they were just within 100 yards of the heron rookery. And Sherman Hawkins afterwards, and he was my patient, and he was just screaming. He hated the fish, and still does, hates the Fish and Wildlife Service. His Sherman statement to me was, why don't the Fish and Wildlife butt out and let us farmers do what we want to with our own land? That was Sherman's philosophy. And He's so furious. He won't let us even do our Christmas bird count on his land anymore.
Yeah.
He is totally against everything that has anything to do
with wildlife
or ecology or birds or anything. I have to tell you one of my funnies. My son and I, that little patch of land of the corner of Sherman's there, as you go down Wilkerson on the right-hand side and below Catherine, floods out there and there's a lot of wetland.
Right.
There, and we would see geese in there. And so I went to Sherman and I said, because I'd known him ever since we came here, and I said, could my son and I put a little blind out there and hunt geese on that wetland? And he said, oh, no, no, no. He said, I don't have any wetland here. He said, that's not wetland. And he said, no. He said, you can't hunt in there. He said, that's not wetland. Gosh, water was stood.
Oh, I know. I got pictures of how
2 feet,
that
2 feet deep there, you know, 9 months out of the year.
A couple of years ago.
Marshy in between, you know. And he immediately said, no, no, no. He said, there's no wetland here.
Yeah, the whole thing was
underwater. And because any time anything's declared as a wetland, why, then there's a whole different rules on how you manage it. But it was so funny. He was just so quick to say, no, no, there's no wetlands. I wish I had more specific things to, you know, because I wasn't paying any attention to these kind of things, Jerry.
Well, there's so much, of course, that's gone on that, you know, in your past.